What timing. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to take my time just a little bit. We have any testimonies from the last time we were here? Oh, yes. Come up here, please, young lady. In order to make this testimony complete, you'll have to give them a little bit of background.
Okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
So they'll understand where you come from, where it started, how it ended. We got time. Don't worry about it.
I don't remember how long ago it started. It's been years and years and years. My back started going. And first they tell me, well, you have degenerative disc. Well, that's a catch-all phrase, really, that they use. And it proceeded to get worse. I would have pain down my left leg, at the top of my foot, over my hip, of course, in my back. Sometimes I had a hard time using my left leg. There were a couple of times I couldn't go to work because I would get out of bed. As soon as I would get out of bed, my left leg would crank up so bad I couldn't put it on the floor. I would look like a stork. I could not walk. Went to the doctor again. I've had herniated disc, had three. I've had 5 steroid injections into my spine to take out the inflammation. Those are not fun. I don't advise them for anyone unless you have to do it. Anti-inflammatory medication, steroid medications by mouth until I had an ulcer. Last doctor I went to, I had curvature in my spine where the disc had blown. My lower spine was curved this direction, which made my whole left side weak. And I also had bone spurs in my spine. But when your spine tries to correct itself, it grows little spurs out on either side. I had started having the narrowing of the spine called spinal stenosis, which you can't hardly get relief from because it's choking off the nerve in your back. And it was constant pain, 24/7, for years. It was years. I lived on muscle relaxers and painkillers. I got to the point where I had to take sleeping pills to sleep at night because the painkillers, if you've ever had to take painkillers, which I hate taking them, but if you've ever had to take them, you'll find that the longer you take them, the more it takes to kill the pain. Well, the more you take, having been a pharmacy tech, I knew the more I would take, the more I would destroy my liver also. So, you know, you're in a catch-22. So I've been believing for my back and believing for my back. I mean, y'all have seen me come up here when Charlie's been here for my back. And the last time, came up here, and Pastor Charlie prayed for me. Because he said, anybody with back pain come up. And I'm like, well, duh. You know, he's just looking for me. Came up. He prayed for me. Went on. And I could feel the bones moving in my back. I could feel movement in my low back. And so I just stood there for a long time because I didn't want to mess anything up. So I had to scoot it all the way over, Lord, and line it up. And then when he came to Ulysses, oh, I've also had a blown disc in my neck. Forgot that part. It makes you lose the use of your right hand, which I type for a living. I work at a hospital in the billing department, so I have to be able to use my hand. So we've done steroid injections on that too, and traction. So anyway, when he came to Ulysses and he prayed for me, things started moving in my neck. And I'm like, oh, this is too cool. I didn't have to take pain pills or anything since. The Lord has been just adjusting my back and adjusting my back. When I walked back from here, when I walked back to where David was, he was standing. He said, I think you're taller. I said, I know I'm taller. So I just praise God for it because you don't realize how much pain wears you out until you're out of it. And it's like, wow, I feel so much better. This is great. I can wear heels and everything. It's great. It's great. So whatever you're believing God for, I mean, I've been believing God all that time. Steroid injections, traction on my neck, neurologist that wanted, they wanted to fuse my spine, and I had a guy that just wanted to take out part of the disc. And then they're working on an artificial disc, you know, so we've got all the, you know, everybody wanted to cut me open. So I'm always do that. Get prayed or you get peace before you let anybody do that. Because backs never, I've never heard anybody with good back surgery, especially if using that many discs. So God has just been so good. Just don't give up whatever you're believing for, no matter how bad it gets. I mean, when you can't straighten your leg, you're thinking, okay, what am I doing wrong, God? What am I doing wrong? Because this has been going on forever. Just keep believing God and keep worshiping God. If you have to sit down and cry a while about it, then sit down and cry a while and then get back up and go on. Because you will get your miracle if you just keep going. The trick is, if there's a trick to it, the deep revelation is to never quit. Never quit. No matter how bad it hurts or how many times you feel like you failed, never, never quit. Because your miracle is waiting for you. It'll be there.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hey, Marissa, can you come up here for just a moment? Hallelujah, Jesus. And then, the same weekend that we were here, we went back to Ulysses after here. And I'm going to question her because she can validate everything for me. After going back to Ulysses, then your dad, Pastor Earl, was sitting in the service with chest pains, about to take a nitro pill. Correct? Am I asking? Oh, you weren't there. I picked the wrong person. She's gonna validate it by being here. Yeah, that's right. Zach can join her. No, I'm just kidding. No. Anyhow, so he was, I'll just go ahead and finish it then. I thought she was there. That was my fault. I don't remember a lot of things. Anyhow, he was in pain in the service, in his chest, fixing to take a nitro pill. And the Lord spoke to me and said, call Pastor Earl up and pray for him. Called him up and prayed for him, and he said he was about to take the nitro pill. Prayed for his heart. And then he went to the doctor. You were here for this, right? He went to the doctor a couple days later, a day or two later.
When it got blocked.
What year were you born? Trying to make sure you were even here.
Yeah.
Okay, so he went to the doctor. And the doctor said there was nothing wrong. He was in good shape. You weren't here for that one?
I guess not. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's what he told me, that the doctor said that everything was just fine. You can sit down. Thank you for your help. I appreciate all your help. Told him to come back in 1 year that everything was fine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I wanted those two testimonies together, the one that Marissa gave, the one that Pastor Cindy gave. I want those together because they both got their miracle the same way. Let's just lump it together. Apply it to both. You have to cross the line from hope into faith. You can't have your miracle without faith. You say, well, what about the gifts of the Spirit? Well, we're getting to that point. Because when I walked from right over here back to there, and he said to pray for backs, at the same time he told me to do that, the gifts kicked in, and I seen a picture of her back and where the problems were at. Usually, not usually. Whenever he does that, you can't fight off a miracle. You can't fight off a healing. It's going to happen. And so, what happened was, regardless of the pain pills, regardless of the shots in the back, when she crossed from hope into faith, her miracle and her healing came into existence.
Amen.
At that point. You can't just hope. Hope is good. You can't lose hope. Understand, don't let anybody tell you. You know, some will say, well, you don't need hope, you need faith. Well, you can't get faith until you got hope first.
Amen.
But you got to cross from that hope, like Romans says. You got to cross from that hope into that faith. And when you get into that faith, then He's able to get what He already gave you over to you.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Earl was the same way. I don't understand. He was back there taking nitro pills and he still got his healing. That's right. That's right. Whether you take a pill or get an injection in your back has nothing to do with faith.
Amen.
You know, I've seen people reject what the doctor wants them to do. I'm believing God. I'm not going to do it. I'm believing God. And then they die and go to heaven. Well, that's good to go to heaven when you die. That's the best thing to do is go to heaven when you die. But how about all that that you... I kind of demonstrate it like a poker game. Yeah, don't tell me you don't know what a poker game is. You know, hey, I was once not born again. You think that I came out of the womb born again. A poker game, you know, somebody that's smart and lucky at playing a poker game, they're not going to leave any money on the table if they can help it. See? They're going to go for all of it. If they've got a streak going, they're going to go for all of it. Well, you don't want to leave any of it on the table. You want to go for all of it. You want everything done in your life that you can have done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And like she says, don't give up. But you got to go from hope into faith. And cross that line, because when you cross that line into faith, then He's able to get across to you everything that is yours, including that miracle, see. You know, so Pastor Earl, he's sitting back there fixing to take a nitro pill. So what? So what? Why not stay alive and get everything on the table? Why not stay alive and run your race and get everything on the table that you're supposed to have in heaven, every reward that you're supposed to have? Why get it cut short and leave some poker chips on the table? Why do that when you could go all the way and get all that has been called for you to have? Well, you can't do that if you don't stay alive. You know, what did Pastor Earl back there, instead of obeying what I told him to do, which is just come forward and give prayer, what if he just stayed back there? I'm going to believe God. No, I'm not going up, and I'm going to believe God. And then he died and went to heaven. He wouldn't have got everything that he needed.
Amen.
What if she had not continued to believe and done whatever necessary to survive until she could cross the line from hope into faith and go into that place to get her miracle? He was getting her so incapacitated she couldn't even serve Him. Right?
Yeah.
Am I right? So it has nothing to do with you taking a pill or a shot. That has nothing to do with faith. You go ahead. You do whatever necessary and you get out of it. As soon as you can get out of it and cross that line from hope into faith, that you can receive what God has for you, see. I just don't understand. Sometimes it's hard to get across to people, hey, it's okay to take that pill, but keep believing and don't give up hope because God has a miracle for you.
That's right.
Well, if I don't have faith if I'm taking that pill. It has nothing to do with it. If you didn't take the pill, you wouldn't have the faith either. Because if you had the faith, you'd already be healed. You wouldn't need the pill or anything else. You wouldn't even need the gifts. See. Do you understand? Does everybody here understand this? I'm serious about this. I hear, people tell me stuff and I just want, I try to walk in love. Sometimes I just want to slap them. It doesn't matter whether you take the pill or not. It has nothing to do with your faith that God can heal. It has nothing to do with it. You do whatever necessary to stay alive and stay in that place that you can serve God and keep believing that He's going to heal you. I remember those times that I was so bad when I was up at Ulysses pastoring. The only time I had any relief was when I walked into a service and the anointing and the gifts came on and, and started manifesting. I was free. Free as a bird. Walked back out of the service into my office and go immediately into a world of pain. Get up of a morning at 3:30, 4, 4:35. Walk the floor because I was in so much pain and couldn't get free. In order to keep functioning, I'd have to take morphine. How many knows what morphine is? I'd have to take that to keep functioning. So I would keep walking the floor, take my morphine, so I was able, because all the pain was pretty well, not all, but most of it was situated in my feet. How am I going to walk the floor and call out Jesus' name and worship Him if I can't walk? Got to be able to walk to do that. So I would take the morphine tablet that would get me out of pain in my feet where I was able to continue on worshiping God. So then I'd walk the floor, worshiping Him and thanking Him for my healing. Went on for months. I don't even remember now how long. It doesn't matter. You say, well, how long? Well, however long it takes. However long it takes for you. It's going to be different for everybody. And I would walk the floor, call out His name, go out into the yard. There at the place we were renting, I'd go out into the yard, walk around the yard, calling out His name, worshiping Him and thanking Him for the healing. Well, eventually it manifested. Eventually I got that healing. Now I can wear cowboy boots. I couldn't wear them then, but now I wear them whenever I want. Hey, that's a big thing if you can't wear them and you want to wear them. If you don't want to wear them, that's up to you. I don't care. I was raised up getting cow manure on my feet. I'm proud of it. If Raphael was here, I would say it was better than hog manure, but he's not here, so I won't pick on him. Hallelujah. But you stay in there. You do whatever's necessary to get you through to the other side till you walk out of that you're in.
Amen.
That's the way it is. So what happened? They crossed, both of them crossed from hope into faith, the faith necessary to deliver their miracle or their healing into their lives. Just happened that it came that weekend, and they crossed the line and the gifts came in and, she got her miracle in her back, He got His healing in His heart, or you can call it a miracle if you want. Whatever's necessary, it doesn't matter. It's immaterial. But you don't stop. Please, whatever you do, stay alive. till you get it, so you don't get shortchanged at the poker table. Boy, this is going to sound good on the internet. He's talking about playing poker. He's talking about cow manure. Cowboy boots. This is going to really sound good. We'll have to think up one of them good titles. From cow manure to the poker table. Something like that. I like titles that get their attention, you know. May not even have anything to do with the message, but it gets their attention. That's all that matters. As long as you listen to it, I don't care. But many people think, well, you know, if I take that tablet, then I'm not going to get my healing. If I take that shot, I'm not going to get my healing. If I do what the doctor says and go that route he's saying, I'm not going to get my healing. What if you die and you don't get it? Then you shortchanged yourself. You left the chips on the table. You didn't take everything you needed. It'd be better to stay alive, do whatever necessary. Worship. Don't stop worshiping God and praying. Keep calling in that healing. Don't stop. It's all right to take that pain pill. It's all right to take that shot. It's all right to take whatever necessary to keep going. But whatever you do, don't stop seeking God. Don't stop calling out His name, thanking Him for that healing, thanking Him for that miracle. See, you can make it your walk, a walk of the Spirit, or you can make it a walk of the soul. People don't understand. You know, you make decisions. You can either make decisions based on what God says, what His Word says, and what He's speaking to you out of His Word, bringing it alive to you. You can make your decisions based on that, or you can make your decisions based on your soul. When you make your decision based on the soul of how your feelings are towards something without God telling you what to do, you make that decision, that's a walk of the soul. Walk of the intellect, walk of the soul, walk of the emotions, they're all the same. They all come from the same place. Walk of the Spirit is when you go after God and stay after Him, and you don't make a decision, and you don't do anything till you know exactly what God says. Not your emotions, not your soul, not your stupid thinking, but what God says. That's a walk of the Spirit. And to have a walk of the Spirit, and to have that power in your life, you have to do the things we've been teaching now 4 years this month up here. I don't know how long at Ulysses, I forgot. But I know we've been here 4 years this month here. We've been teaching these things that you might have a walk of the Spirit. But you're not going to have a walk of the Spirit unless you walk after God and the things of God and apply these things in your life. If you continue to do it the old way, all you're doing is walking after what the soul says to you. Now, the soul will let you serve God. The soul will let you serve God. Let you serve God out of your emotions.
Well, I'll go down to the street. See if I can feed somebody a hot dog. Well, of course you will. Your soul wants to do good things. But it doesn't necessarily want to follow what God says. Usually it doesn't. Because with your soul is your emotions, Everything in you that has trained you since you were born again has been to do with your emotions. And your emotions are crying out saying one thing, and God is saying something else. You've got to decide, am I going to follow God or am I going to do things the way I have done them for the past 30, 35, 50 years, whatever? What am I going to do? Or am I going to change things? Well, to change things, you have to start doing things different, meaning you have to start applying the things that we've been teaching that you may make this walk out of being a walk of the soul into a walk of the Spirit. See, your born-again spirit is in constant contact with God and the Holy Spirit. It's in constant contact. But the problem is, you don't always do what your born-again spirit is telling you to do, especially if you're not listening. See, if you're not listening, you can't tell me you've done what your born-again spirit was telling you to do. How could you? You weren't listening. You got to be listening to something. It's not like you're not there and not listening to something. I know some of you sometime are a little bit spacey, but you're not that spacey. You're going to be listening to something every time. You listen to your soul, you're going to be doing what your emotions say or what your intellect says is right. But that may not necessarily be what's right in God's eyes. God may be looking at it a total different way. See, you don't always get the big picture. You got to walk out parts of it. Each part you have to walk out, and then another part. You don't get the whole picture at one time. You don't get the every step that you're going to encounter in this world in 80, 90, 100 years. You're not going to get all that in one flash. It's called a walk of faith. Walk of faith meaning this. I'm going to walk out the first step that I heard God say. By the time I get to the end of that step, He's going to have another step for me to walk out. I don't know why. I don't know why He's telling me this. I don't know why I'm supposed to do this. I just know that I'm supposed to walk out the first step, and then the second step will be there when I get done with the first step. You have to make this walk by faith. But you want a walk of the Spirit, not a walk of the emotions, not a walk of the soul, not a walk of what your intellect or your education has taught you.
Man, I went to Bible school, so my education's okay.
No, yours is probably worse than everybody else's. You got to make a walk with God in the center. Your decisions that you make in this church, your decisions you make out there in your job, out there in your life, in your household, your decisions that you make should be this way. Not with God on the outer perimeter.
Well, I'm going to move to such and such, or I'm going to move from this place to this place.
Well, is God on the outer perimeter or is He in the center of that decision? That's what you got to decide. If you're keeping Him on the center, then you're going to ask Him, what do you want me to do? If He's out here on the outer perimeter, you're more than likely going to ignore what He's saying or not even hear Him, and you're going to walk by your emotions. Your soul. But if He's there in the center, you're going to keep Him there in every decision that you make concerning your life is going to be because of something he has said, and you may not understand it. Why do you want me to stay in this church? I don't understand. Well, stay here and find out if that's what he said to do. Just stay here in this church. And meanwhile, while you're here in this church, we would like for you to be of some earthly good. Now, the pastor's not here this weekend, so he's not able to influence me. Not that he does. He never does. Just ask him. He can't influence me. He doesn't have the capability or the power to influence me. But he's not here this weekend. So let's talk about that of being earthly good. See, I was, you know, from the I've told you some of this, but from the time I was 19, I was in the real estate and the oil and gas business. So I was around all kinds of business people. Worth lots of money. Some of them thought they were worth lots of money. You know, all types. I was around them all. And then when I got born again, I was still around them because I was in that business still yet at that time. So I was around them. Well, they do things a little differently. Thank you, Father. Worship you. Praise you and thank you. Give you glory and honor and praise. I magnify you. Lift you on high. Glorify you. A lot of them, they, you know, even them that were born again, even them that were trying to some similarity of serving God, they would think, well, I make money. I'm thinking of a couple different ones that you don't know, that are not from this area. They're from somewhere in Oklahoma. And these are the examples that kept coming to my mind. And, you know, they would think, well, I make money for the gospel. They were usually in the real estate business, the two I'm thinking of. And they would say, I make money for the gospel. That's my calling. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I agree. They were right. They were correct. But that's all that they had that they thought that they had to do. If I make money for the gospel and I give my 10% every week, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. You cannot buy your reward in heaven. The only way to get your reward in heaven is through obedience. You get into heaven by being born again, obeying the Word of God, being born again, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. First obedience. First decision of obedience. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want you into my heart. Become my Lord. First decision, first act of obedience. Amen. Is the word I was trying to get out. Act of obedience. To have your reward that you're to get in heaven comes through your obedience following your salvation. You can't buy it. Well, I'm a businessman and I make money for the gospel. So therefore, I don't have to do anything else. That person may be making money for the gospel, but they usually become no earthly good for the kingdom. Because God is sitting there saying, fine, you're called to make money for the gospel, and you're doing that, but I want you, while you're at it, since it doesn't take 24 hours a day for you to do that, I've got something else I want you to do in the church. I need you to do this. Could you, by the way, when you're dropping into church, could you go down and change the toilet paper rolls in the bathrooms? After all, you are a humble businessman that's making money for my kingdom, are you not? It's See, sometimes there's more to it than just saying, well, God called me to do this. He called me to the pulpit to preach. So what? I might need to be doing something else when I'm not preaching up here that He wants me to do. After all, am I not supposed to be working out and earning my reward in heaven? It's all through obedience. So I've got to listen to Him, do what He says, and be in obedience that I might earn everything that He has for me. I don't want to leave any poker chips on the table, thank you. I would rather get it all. It comes through obedience. Well, I'm being obedient because I'm earning money for the gospel. What if there's something else that you closed your mind to because of your soul? Then you're not walking by the Spirit. You're walking by the soul. You're walking by the intellect. You're walking by your emotions. You have to come to the place where whatever it takes, Lord, You're staying right here in the center of my universe, and every decision, every move I make in this world is going to be centered around You. What are You saying? And until you know what He is saying, you stay right where you're at. You stay in the place that you're supposed to be in until you know without a doubt what He is saying. Then you make that second step by faith. And you don't go for a third step till you've walked out that second step. And a walk by the Spirit. What do you mean a walk by the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. I thought I clarified it, but I guess I didn't. A walk by the Spirit is by your born-again spirit. Your born-again spirit's in touch with God. Your born-again spirit is a new creation. But you've got to make the decisions. You've got to make the walk listening to it and what it says about the Word of God. Whatever the Word says, that's the decision that you make. Because you're wanting to make a walk by the Spirit. That born-again Spirit, that illumination on the inside. When you asked Jesus into your heart, your spirit became born again. Now it has the capacity to hear what God has to say about you and your situation. And you've got to make that decision. Well, that was interesting. I just seen a rib pop up. I wonder where that was at. Which one of you has been having trouble with a rib popping out? You may not know that that's what it is, but I can tell you right now that's what it is. You're having problems in a rib. Where you at? Just jump right up. So when you make that walk in your life, whether it be here in this church, or whether it be out there in your everyday life, make it a walk by the Spirit, not a walk of emotions, not a walk of the soul. Make the decisions based on what is God saying about my situation. What is He saying about what I'm looking at right now? See? Make the decision based on that. Don't make it on what your emotions are screaming and yelling at you. Don't make it based on what your intellect, your college degree is telling you. Most people do. Most Christians do.
Hey, I'm talking about the church now. I'm not talking about unregenerated, unborn again people. I'm talking about the church right now. Most of them make decisions based on the intellect or the soul in the churches today. Why shouldn't they? Their pastor's doing it. They're going to do what their pastor does, and he's doing it. So you can't blame them. All you can do is try to direct them a different direction. You can't blame them. They're just doing what they've been taught. What the example that they've seen. Jump to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Get anything out of that tonight? I think I've emptied myself somewhat, you might say, of what he says, what he's saying tonight. There might be more of it tomorrow night, I don't know. Well, you have to come tomorrow night to find out. No telling what's going to happen in the morning. Shelley thinks that I've been looking at her notes. I had her convinced on the way out here that I was meditating the same book she was. I wasn't, but I had her convinced of that. I was trying to throw her off a little bit. My sense of humor, you know, sometimes a little different. You probably already know that by now. Hallelujah, Jesus. At least I know to bring a skillet when I have potatoes and onions. Peppers. With a little bit of oil in it. A good campfire going. Put that on there. Take another skillet over here. Catfish fillets with a little bit of oil in it. Okay, we're done for tonight. Let's all go to the lake.